We continue our discussion with Tiffany Lee, who is an attorney and resident fellow at Yale Law School's Information Society Project. In part two, we discuss non-human creators of intellectual property and how it could potentially impact the right to be forgotten, as well as the benefits of multidisciplinary training where developers take a law class and lawyers take a tech class.
So do you think the EU regulators will have some more guidance for, specifically for the GDPR, right to be forgotten?
The European regulators specifically have been fairly good about providing external guidance outside of regulations and outside of decisions. Guidance documents that are non-binding have been very helpful in understanding different aspects of the regulation. And I think that we will have more research done. I would love to really see, though, is more interdisciplinary research. So one problem I think that we have in law generally, in technology law, is this sort of habit of operating in a law and policy only silo. So we have the lawyers, we have the policymakers, we have the lobbyists, everyone there in a room talking about, for example, how we should protect privacy. And that's wonderful, and I've been in that room many times. But what's missing often is someone who actually knows what that means on the technical end. For example, all the issues that I just brought up are not in that room with the lawyers and policymakers, really, unless you bring in someone with a tech background, someone who works on these issues and actually knows what's going on. So this is something that's not just an issue with the right to be forgotten or just with EU privacy law, but really any technology law or policy issue. I think that we definitely need to bridge that gap between technologists and policymakers.
Speaking of interdisciplinary, you recently wrote a really interesting paper on AI and intellectual property, and you described the future dilemmas of what might arise in IP law, specifically involving works by non-human creators. And I was wondering if you can introduce to our listeners the significance of your inquiry.
So this is a draft paper that I've been writing about AI and intellectual property. Specifically, I'm looking at the copyrightability of works that are created by non-human authors, which could include AI, but could also include animals, for example, or other non-human actors. Getting back to that same difference I mentioned earlier, where we have one form of AI that is simply machine learning and super advanced statistics, and we have one form of AI that may be something close to a new type of intelligence. So my paper looks at this from two angles. First, we look at what current scholarship says about who should own works, creative works that are created by AI or non-humans. And here we have some interesting issues. For example, if you devise an AI system to compose music, which we've seen in a few different cases, the question then is who should own the copyright or the IP rights generally over the music that's created. One option is giving it to the designer of the AI system on the theory that they created the system, which is the main impetus for the work being generated in the first place. Another theory is that the person actually running the system, the person who literally flipped the switch and hit run, should own the rights because they were provided the creative spark behind the art or the creative work. Still other theories prevail or exist right now. Some people say that there should be no rights to any of the work because it doesn't make sense to provide rights or not the actual creators of the work. Others say that we should try to figure out a system for giving the AI the work. And this, of course, is problematic because AI can't own anything. And even if it could, even if we get to the world where AI is a sentient being, we don't really know what they want. We can't pay them. We don't know how they would prefer to be incentivized for their creation and so on. So a lot of these different theories don't perfectly match up with reality. But I think the prevailing ideas right now are either to create a contractual basis for figuring this out. For example, when you design your system, you sign a contract with whoever you sell it to that lays out all the rights neatly in the contract. So you bypass the legal issue entirely. Or to think of it as a work for hire model. Think of the AI system as analogous to an employee who is simply following the instructions of an employer. In that sense, for example, if you are an employee at Google and you develop something, you develop a really great product, you don't own the product. Google owns that product, right? It's under the work for hire model. So that's one theory. And what my research is finding is that none of these theories really make sense because we're missing one crucial thing. And I think the crucial point that we're missing is really goes back to the very beginnings of why we have copyright in the first place, or why we have intellectual property, which is that we want to incentivize the creation of more useful work. We want more artists, we want more musicians, and so on. So the key question then, if we look at works created by non-humans, isn't, you know, if we can contractually get around this issue. The key question is what we want to incentivize. Whether we want to incentivize work in general, art in general, or if for some reason we think that there's something unique about human creation, that we want humans to continually be creating things. And those two different paradigms, I think, should be the way we look at this issue in the future. So it's a little high level, but I think that's an interesting distinction that we haven't paid enough attention to yet when we think about the question of who should own intellectual property for works that are created by AI and non-humans generally.
If we give AI some of these rights, then it's almost conflicts with the right to be forgotten, because now you would need the consent of the AI?
Sure, that's definitely possible. No, we don't know. Well, I mean, we don't have AI citizens yet, except in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
So since we're talking about AI citizens, if we do extend AI citizens to have intellectual property rights, does it mean that they get other kinds of rights, such as freedom of speech and the right to vote, or that's not a proper approach or way to think about it? Are we treading in science fiction movies that we've seen where humans are superior to machines? I know we're just kind of playing around with ideas, but it'll be really interesting to hear your insights, especially it's your specialty.
No problem. I mean, I'm in this field because I love playing around with those ideas. Even though I do continually mention that there is that division between the AI we have now and that futuristic sentient AI, I do think that eventually we will get there. There will be a point where we have AI that can think, for a certain definition of thinking, that can think at least at the level of human beings. And because those intelligent systems can design themselves, it's fairly easy to assume that they will then design even more intelligent systems. And we'll get to that point where there will be super intelligent AI who are more intelligent than humans. So the question that you asked then, I think, is really interesting. It's the concept of whether we should be giving these potential future beings the same rights that we give human beings. And I think that's interesting because it gets down to really a philosophical question, right? It's not a question about, you know, privacy or security or even law. It's a question of what we believe is important on a moral level, and if who we believe to be capable of either having morals or being part of a moral calculus. So in my personal opinion, I believe if we do get to that point, if there are artificially intelligent beings who are as intelligent as humans, who we believe to be almost exactly the same as humans in every way in terms of having intelligence, being able to mimic or feel emotions, and so on, we should definitely look into expanding our definition of citizenship and fundamental rights. I think, of course, there is the opposite view, which is that there is something inherently unique about humanity, and there is something unique about life as we see it right now, biological carbon-based life as we see it right now. But I think that's a limited view, and I think that that limited view is not something that really serves us well if you consider the universe as a whole and the large expanse of time outside of just these few millennia that humans have been on this earth.
And to wrap up and to bring all our topics together, I want to bring it back to regulations and technology and training, and I'd like to continue our play thinking with the idea that developers who create technology, if we should require training so that they take principles such as right to be forgotten, privacy by design, and you even mentioned morals, the moral obligation for developers to consider all of these elements, because what they'll be creating will ultimately impact humans. And I wonder if they could get sort of the training that we require of doctors and lawyers so that everyone's working from the same knowledge base. Could you see that happening? And I wanted to know what your opinions are on this.
I love that mode of thought. I think that in addition to lawyers and policymakers needing to understand more from technologists, I think that people working in tech definitely should think more about these ethical issues. And I think that it's starting. We're starting to see a trend of people in the technology community thinking about really how their actions can affect the world at large. And that may be partially in the mainstream news right now because of the reaction to the last election and to ideas such as fake news and disinformation and so on. But we see the tech industry changing and at least accepting somewhat the idea that maybe there should be responsibility or ethical considerations built into the role of being a technologist. So what I like to think about is just the fact that regardless of whether you are a product developer or you are a privacy officer or you're a lawyer at a tech company per se, for example, regardless of what role you have, every action that you make has an impact on the world at large. And this is something that, you know, maybe it's giving too much moral responsibility to the day-to-day actions of most people. But if you consider that any small action within a company can affect a product, and any product can then affect all the users that it reaches, you kind of see this easy scaling up of your one action to effects on the people around you, which can then affect maybe even larger areas and possibly the world. Which is not to say, of course, that we should live in fear of having to decide every single aspect of our lives based on greater impact of the world. But I do think it's important to remember that, especially if you are in a role in which you're dealing with things that might have really direct impact on things that matter, like privacy, like free speech, like global idealistic human rights values, and so on. I think it's important to consider ethics and technology, definitely. And if we can provide training, if we can make this part of the product design process, if we can make this part of what we expect when hiring people, sure, I think it would be great. Adding it to curriculum, adding tech or information ethics course into the general computer science curriculum, for example, would be great. I also think that it'd be great to have a tech course for the law school curriculum as well. Definitely both sides can learn from each other. We do, in general, just need to bridge that gap.
So I just wanted to ask if you had anything else that you wanted to share that we didn't cover. We covered so many different topics.
So I would love to take a moment to introduce the work that I'm currently doing. I'm a resident fellow at Yale Law School's Information Society Project, which is a research center dedicated to different legal issues involving the information society as we know it. And I'm currently leading a new initiative, which is called the Wikimedia and Yale Law School Initiative on Intermediaries and Information. This initiative is funded by a generous grant from the Wikimedia Foundation, which is a nonprofit that runs Wikipedia. And we're doing some really interesting research right now on exactly what we just discussed, on the role of tech companies, but particularly these information intermediaries or these social media platforms and so on. These tech companies and their responsibilities or their duties towards users, towards movements, towards governments, and possibly towards the world and larger ideals. So it's a really interesting new initiative, and I would definitely welcome different feedback and ideas on these topics. So if people want to check out more information, you can head to our website. It's law.yale.edu/ISP. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Tiffany, TiffanyCLI. So I would love to hear from any of your listeners and love to chat more about all of these fascinating issues.